The Money Show. Personal finance.
Warren Ingram is always full of surprises. He is a financial advisor. He is a director at Galileo Capital. And tonight, we're talking about the best way to buy a car. And I suggested right at the beginning of this hour, Warren Ingram, that the only way to buy a car is to pay cash. Dispute.
So it's confession time, I'm afraid. I have sold a car and I have bought a car. And so, you know, having this conversation now is a bit of a confession. I will say that I'm on your page. I listen to your chirps about driving the car until it's no longer safe. And that's probably
you drive it until it's just before it's no longer safe, when it's slightly dodgy, but not going to deliberately let you down. And it might, but you try not to let that happen.
Yeah, and so, one of the things about lockdown, I've realized that we're probably going to end up doing a lot more longer road trips, and the car I wasn't comfortable to do those anymore. So amazingly, and you know, everyone keeps telling me that Facebook's listening to you on your mobile device, but I think it was because as I made this decision and sold my car, I suddenly started to see these ads on Facebook saying, you know, here's this car and that car, and some of them are offering finance deals that I've seen before, probably 6 years ago, and some of them around about prime minus five or even better, and so that was the last time I financed a car, and so I've done it again. And so the confession's out the way now, and we can move on to how other people should buy cars when they don't finance.
Hold on a second. The financial advisor has financed a car. You are paying interest upon interest upon interest over, what, a five-year period? I've seen some car deals going to 7 years. Have you built in a big fat balloon payment? Have you, we've done all kinds of dodgy deals on that particular front? What are the T's and C's here? Because people are going to hear the financial advisor bought a car in finance and go out and start paying stupid money and doing stupid deals. So we need to be clear on what you've done.
We do. And so the first principle is, always pay cash for a car, and you really need to think very carefully about not doing that. And so in my instance, why did I do that? The reason I did that was because they gave me an interest rate of nearly, it's very close to prime minus six. So in this
So hold on, prime is 7%. So yeah. They have lent you money at 1.something% a year.
Exactly, it's less than 1.5% a year, and you're right. I didn't do it over 6 or 7 years. I did it over a much shorter period of time than that, and then I still paid a massive deposit because it just does. I just hate owing money, so I did it anyway. But mathematically, if I were to look at this, if we're running an inflation rate, let's just say it's 2% at the moment. And the finance house, or in this instance, the actual car company is willing to lend me money at a rate below inflation. The calculation I do in my head, just putting my financial advisor hat on for a second, is can I do better with that money without taking excessive risk over the same time frame? Because if I can, then I should keep that money and then invest it. But if I can't do better with that money, then I should definitely pay off the car with cash. And so I'm fairly confident in my ability to do a bit better than 1.5% a year over the next few years. And that was the reason for financing the car. Having said that, I didn't do any of the other fancy stuff that these car companies offer. In other words, definitely didn't take a new car. I took an older car. Definitely didn't do balloon payments or any of those kinds of things where they give me payment holidays or, you know, guarantee value or any of those. Because to me, what that does is it's actually enabling me to spend a bit more money per month on a car, and therefore I'm actually overspending, because at the end I'm still going to have to either give the car back or something. And so it creates this false sense that I'm actually getting a car relatively cheaply, and I'm not. What I'd be doing is overpaying for a car I don't need. And so I think that, you know, the deal here is, if you're going to finance a car at this kind of an interest rate, and truthfully, there are not many of these around, then pay a huge deposit, make sure you pay it off over a short period of time, and then make sure that you are investing the balance of your capital that you would have used for the car elsewhere, and don't just, you know, go and spend that money now, because that just sets you back terribly. But definitely, I hate the things like balloon payments, and most of the time, car companies are financing their car buyers at prime plus, you know, prime or prime plus. And in that instance, even where prime is relatively low, I'm not confident, for example, that I could do 9% a year on investments guaranteed over the next 3-4 years, and in which case I would always buy the car cash until they come up with these kinds of deals.
Now, did you buy the car that you wanted when you made the decision to sell your existing vehicle? And did you have a very clear vehicle? I want to buy the Golf GTI or whatever it is that you've bought. Or did you go, all right, I'm selling the car, I'm going to buy a car that offers me the best deal? Because that's what you would do, because you're that guy that everyone
has. I am that guy.
You are that guy. You are that guy.
I am that guy.
Because you're not wedded to brands, I don't think.
No, I'm not. And so for me, I mean, a couple of considerations. One is I am safety conscious. So especially around things like hijack risk, you know, I look for cars that aren't necessarily the most sold car in the country, because unfortunately, the most popular cars that are sold the most are also the ones hijacked the most. So I tend to look for cars that are a little bit unfavored or unloved. And secondly, those are usually the ones that have a worse resale value. So when I buy them, the owner who sold them to me is usually taken a heck of a knock, and I don't have to take that knock with them. But then, for example, like in this instance, I look at the finance deal first, and then go and look for the car that will fit my criteria thereafter. So no brand consciousness at the start. I mean, obviously, you know, safety and reliability and all those things, I'm talking about road safety now, are a factor. Because I mean, I'll obviously be transporting my wife and my friends from time to time, but for me, it's definitely around the finance deal first. And if there wasn't a finance deal and I was just buying the car cash, then it would be based on a particular price. So I would have a certain amount of money in mind. I would look for a car that meets my criteria in my price range. And if I can't find it, then I adjust the car smaller. I don't push up the price. And I think that's the other factor here is, you know, car companies are great at upselling us. You know, they make us want to spend more money because it's exciting and, you know, it's fun to buy a new car. I'm not saying brand new, but just a new different car for yourself. And you feel great, you know, every time you get at it for the first few times. But if you've overspent, that very quickly turns into a feeling of dread and an incredible stone around your neck.
So when you went and bought this car, this nondescript motor vehicle, you had no intention of buying this particular brand, but you would have had a price in mind. You would have had a figure in mind. You would have said, okay, I'm prepared to spend X thousand rand on the vehicle. I have got so much that I can put down as a deposit in comfort. I'm prepared to pay this much off every month. Therefore, the sum total that I'm prepared to spend is Y. Did you stick to that religiously?
Yes, I did actually, and actually, what I went one step further. So I included the finance cost because it's so low in my total budget. So if I'd said, just for argument's sake, so I had 100 rand in mind to buy the car, then the total of the price of the car plus the deposit plus the finance costs over the time, what it came to 100 bucks. And if it didn't come to 100 bucks, I wasn't interested. And so the car dealerships really don't like me because, you know, they're trying to upsell all the time. But that was the deal. I stick to my target, and it helps me manage the emotions because it is fun to get a nice car and all those things. But I have much more enjoyment of capital growing than you know, driving around in a car that's losing value all the time.
And did you take an extended warranty on this particular car? Because cars nowadays are often sold with warranties attached. And when you buy a secondhand car, you can say this amount of time left on the warranty, or you can buy an extended warranty. Did you do that?
I didn't. You know, I did ask for the quotes, but, you know, for 2 years, it worked out at, you know, a ridiculous price of something like 48,000 rand.
What did you buy? A Rolls Royce, yes?
No, definitely not. And so my wife wouldn't be seen with me in any kind of a fancy branded car, high-end car. She'd leave me on the side of the road. So I didn't do that. You know, I thought, you know, that's again, this is where the dealership's trying to make money, because, you know, to spend, let's say it's 24,000 Rand a year on services and the like for peace of mind, for me made no sense at all. I think the moment the car goes out of its service plan, I will take it to a different dealership, like I've always, a garage, like I've always done, and get it serviced by a good garage that's not going to rip me off. And so I'll go. I don't buy into this kind of hype of the service plans, you know, at all costs. And the moment you get towards the end of your service plan, sell the car. For me, that's putting yourself back on the hamster wheel and being a client of the car company for life, you know, because that's the way they lock you in. I think the other thing just around my car, which was interesting, was I went to the dealership before the time and just said, I have a car. Would you give me a trade-in value? And that trade-in value was frankly pathetic relative to what I could get elsewhere. So that's my other big tip for now is, you know, these online car buying businesses, and there are more and more of them now. I actually think they are worthwhile. You know, I think that it's not just marketing hype. I definitely would shop around with two or three of them and the dealership if you want to trade in your car to get the best price. And yes, that means you might need to, you know, be without a car for a few days, but that's okay. It's a good reminder as to why you need the car. And then my other tip always is just remember that a smaller car that's lower value is always best value, because people forget that things like insurance are higher when your car is more expensive, especially if it's one of the most popular cars. And silly things that you don't think of, like tires, you know, tires on a car are more expensive if the car is more expensive and it's a bigger, you know, SUV or whatever the deal is. And those things people don't think about. And then service costs are higher. And then you might be forced, if your car is too expensive, to buy a tracking system by your insurance company, and that costs you as well. So all drive to the lower price and smaller value car, because that is where you're going to get the best deal. And as I said, you know, if you are going to finance the car, pay a big deposit, you know, at least 30-40% of the value of the car, because that limits your ability to overspend, you know, if you give yourself that.
How to buy a car. The lesson from Warren Ingram, who managed to get a deal at prime minus 5%. Different car makers offer different deals at different times, of course, and this isn't a deal that is available to everybody all the time, and it will run at a particular point in time. But he's financing a car at 1.4% a year. It's astonishing. It's almost worth buying the car. I'm just thinking of all the ways you can leverage this motor car and turn it into something fabulous and make lots of money out of it. But you're not going to do that, because you're going to drive in a genteel and responsible way. Enjoy the next road trip, Warren. I've got no doubt that you're planning one to make sure that the car cuts the mustard, and I hope it doesn't let you down. Warren Ingram, personal financial advisor, executive director at Galileo Capital. In a moment, Pavlo Fotidis on how to rebuild your business after slashing back in the midst of the turmoil and the crisis of COVID.